This episode is supported by the Comic Section Podcast Network.
Love him or hate him, the character Batman is an icon. Almost equally iconic is his universe, the supporting cast of the most notorious, intellectual, and ridiculously outrageous criminals in one of the most dangerous cities in the DC universe. Add to that, legendary crime fighters associated with Batman who don the Bat Yoga pants and train and fight alongside Batman, aka the Bat Family. As promised, let's talk all about it.
Podcast presented by Sonic Embassy.
Episode 04, Pop Culture Icons, The Batman Part 2.
In this recurring series I call Pop Culture Icons, I like to explore nouns that are or were popular in general, but probably mostly popular to me. So we've already talked about Batman, our appreciation for the character, and what makes him such an icon. That was in part one in episode 03. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, you really should. We had a lot of fun with that one. But now I think it'd be cool to explore Batman's environment, because I think, and it could be said, that that is a huge driving force in what makes Batman so appealing. His environment, or his universe, the villains, the family, the city that he's driven to protect. So to help me with this, I've got the experts from part one, Greg and Nick, and baby girl number three. And this time, I've got some big fans of Batman's universe. First, cosplayer, artist, and one half of the podcast duo, The Comic Section, it's Lil CEO. And first things first, we're talking less Batman himself and more his supporting cast. So I had to ask if you actually like Batman. That's a fair question.
I have a love-hate relationship with Batman. I have always liked Batman from when I was a young person watching the animated show. But like the older I get, it's like, come on, man. Like, what are you doing? You know, like, it's true. Like, the way people make fun of him, it is kind of silly. Like, why are you just letting Joker go? Like, put Joker in a jail? That's not a normal person. You can't put him in a jail, dude. But yeah, I mean, but overall, yeah, I still love him. He's a great character. There's just so much that you can do with it. He's one of those few characters we can just keep reinventing and reinventing, and it makes sense. Some characters, like Peter Parker, for example, Peter Parker always has to be a young man, you know, in high school, going on to college. But Bruce can always be different. You know, even in different time periods, you've seen the steampunk version, you've seen other versions, because his story is just so versatile. He's just, I mean, at the end of the day, he's just a rich man with resources, power, and the time. So you can put that story in any time frame and it makes sense. So yeah, I definitely am a huge Batman fan.
And finally, the second half of the dynamic duo of the Comic Section podcast, he's an entrepreneur, radio star. He's Jason, aka J-Rock the Mic. And first things first, same question. Do you like Batman?
Come on, man. I have a love-hate relationship. A little bit. Make sure you put that down a little bit. Like, yeah, all right. I get it. It's overrated to me, man. You know, I gotta be like, look, my thing about Batman, you know what? I like Batman. It's the fans that turned me off. You know, it was like, oh, he can always prepared. He always knows. Like, does he really? Like, he's sleeping. He's up all the time. You know. So that just got like cowboy fans. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I respect it, but now y'all are making me not like him because he's always prepared. Like, all right. Yeah, I love making Batman fans mad too. It's the best.
Okay, so first let's talk Bat Family, and probably the most famous Bat Family member, and that is, and they are, I should say, who do you guys think? Were you thinking Robin? Yep, the boy wonder. I gotta be honest though, as an adult, the grown man with the little boy, Robin, I find kind of weird. Something's a little off about that.
And that's fair. I think that's a fair criticism, first of all. But I think the coolest part about Robin and why he was such a big game changer as a character is that's like Batman's whole thing. Is his parents died. He was a very young man when it happened to him, and he was kind of left alone in the world, even despite being rich and well off, and really he should have had all the resources in the world. He was on his own. So the whole idea that Batman, even though it's kind of like weird, like, okay, he just like randomly adopts these kids, he sees a part of himself in every one of these kids. And so what he's doing is he's reaching out to them in this lonely place. And it's almost like he's recreating the moment that happened to him and how he wished it would have gone. He wished that there was some mature adult there to mentor him and to lead him. So that he didn't walk down that dark path by himself. So I think that's why the relationship between Batman and Robin has always been one that people really identify with. I think we all want somebody like that, whether it's our own parents or, you know, aunts or uncles, or even teachers. You know, I've had lots of teachers that were mentors to myself. I think that's what sets him apart, particularly from other superheroes, is he sees people in, or he sees a young person in need, and he wants to help. Well, and basically the only way he knows how. All he knows is how to be a superhero. But he sees these young, talented, lost people, you know, with anger, with abilities, and sees that they need to be directed, and he does that. So, but I get it. I get from the outside why that can look weird. But yeah, once you like start reading the books, it all makes sense. Like that's what he does. He adopts them. They become his wards. And he kind of helps lead them out of the darkness.
Huh. You know, I like that perspective. And you just might have changed my mind. Plus, hey, like I said, I've only recently began reading Batman comics. So.
And what's really been interesting, if you think of the Bat family, Batman is so driven, so obsessed with his war on crime that, in other words, he needs a Robin. He needs that partner that will help him hold on to his humanity. Because I feel like if Batman didn't have Robin, it would be far too easy for him to slip down that dark path, possibly murder. You know, Batman is a hero. He does not kill. But when you're dealing with the types of villains that are in his rogues gallery, you could see where it would be tempting to cross that line. And I think Robin helps him hold on to his humanity.
Okay, so there have been quite a few Robins.
After his first or second year, he takes on a young ward. There's a young man named Dick Grayson, and he is a member of a circus family of trapeze artists called the Flying Graysons. And in his early origin, his mother and father are also victims of crime. A criminal enterprise tries to shake down the circus, essentially, and they rig the trapeze so that the performers fall. So just like Bruce Wayne, Dick Grayson sees his parents die, and Bruce Wayne happens to be at the circus in attendance, so he takes Dick Grayson in and makes him his ward. That's how Grayson starts his journey to become Robin.
And so then Dick Grayson becomes a new character called Nightwing.
There became a point where he wanted to be his own man.
Yeah, that was later. If I'm correct, it's like the 70s. It basically when the Teen Titans started popping up, because of course he is one of the, Dick Grayson was one of the original founders of the Teen Titans team. And so he's, if I'm correct, he starts there as Robin gradually, you know, because then he ages out, basically. He ages out and he becomes an adult. And so Nightwing is his own persona that he takes on to protect his city and to do what he's doing with the Teen Titans and on his own in his solo work. So it was a progression, and that's what's really cool about that. So the thing about Dick Grayson that makes him my favorite Robin is I always thought the most interesting thing about Dick Grayson is that he is a perfect example of what could have happened with Bruce if things had been different. So with Bruce, because they both suffered the same tragedy, both of their parents were murdered in front of them, at very young ages. But Bruce kind of went down this much darker path where he was alone and he was training himself and carrying on this mission by himself. But Dick Grayson was different because he had Batman. So he kind of had someone leading him through the darkness. So Dick Grayson ends up different than Bruce. He's more optimistic, he's more warm, he's more friendly in his superhero work as opposed to Batman, who's famous for being stoic, a loner, very serious, not having many friends. So basically Dick Grayson ended up being the complete opposite. But I mean, not that I don't like those qualities in Batman, but it's a very interesting juxtaposition there to see the two paths break off and the two ways that those two destinies could have gone. And then to see those two people teaming up together, it's perfect. Like it's like the opposites attract thing, you know. Bruce desperately needs somebody to keep him from going too deep down the well. And then of course Dick needs Bruce because you do need to be realistic about the situation. So, but then I honestly like Dick as a person. He's funny. He's charming. You know, he's a great guy. I'd be friends with him if I was in the books. You know what I mean? So yeah, he's definitely my favorite, and watching him grow into Nightwing, that was a very cool and unique experience. With sidekicks, they just kind of come in and out. You didn't really see them progress into their own characters, or else the assumption was always, oh, well, you know, Robin will one day be Batman. That's the whole point. We're training him to replace Batman. And it's like, no, the whole point is like Batman is Batman, but he's training the future of superheroes for his city or for any city. So, but yeah, Dick Grayson is just such a cool, unique character. And he was one of the first. So that's why he particularly is so exciting and one of my favorites.
So baby girl, your fixation with the Batman universe started with Nightwing, right?
Yeah, you mean Dick Grayson? Because he wasn't Nightwing. Because when I started liking him, he wasn't Nightwing yet.
Right.
I just liked him in Young Justice. He is probably the best Robin. I don't know. I don't know. He's Dick Grayson. I mean, you can't not like him. I can't describe why. I just like him. Yeah. I mean, he became Nightwing, and I mean, it's just, he got better.
Next Robin up to bat?
Jason Todd, most popular, known as the Red Hood. He was murdered by the Joker, brought back to life, and became a darker, more avenging character, someone who's capable of murder, Red Hood. And that's kind of a play on an early version of the Joker, because early in the Joker's career, he was known as the Red Hood. Jason Todd was the second Robin, but the way the character was written at the time, he was not very popular with fans. And it's kind of a well-known thing in the 80s, the stories had reached the point where there was going to be a showdown with the Joker, and DC Comics actually ran ads in the comic books where you could call in to a telephone number and vote whether you wanted Jason Todd to live or die. And by a very small margin, Jason Todd was killed by the Joker in the comics. Now, many years later, he would come back as the character, the Red Hood, and enjoy a resurgence in popularity. But it was a really controversial thing at the time.
Favorite character in Batman's world, Jason Todd. Jason Todd, he was treated bad, man. The fans, you know? Like Batman, Death in the Family, which is one of my favorite Batman stories. You know, Jason Todd, you know, hey, I'm Robin. Hey, I'm just here to do what I can. You know, I'm trying to be the best I can be. But, you know, the fans voted to kill him off. And I'm like, what in the world? You know, he was already trying to be there. He's trying to be the hero that Batman wants him to be. But he couldn't do that because the fans voted him to get wiped off, you know, and that was it. And it was like, whoa, I gotta blame Batman for that. And the fans, that's who I blame. And because of that, I love Jason's redemption. You know, it's like, okay, y'all took me out as Robin, y'all didn't like me as Robin, so I'm gonna come back Red Hood. And I love it. I love red because it's like, it's vengeance. Red means I'm coming, you know, I guess psychologically it could be other things, but I see red, it's like, well, I'm coming for war, I'm coming for blood. So, you know, I like the fact that, you know, of course, Batman's whole thing is, okay, he doesn't kill, you know, he doesn't use guns. Red Hood is like, hey, I died, so I'm coming back ready to take people out. You know, he tried to be the good guy, tried to be the sidekick that everyone loved, like Dick Grayson and Tim Drake and, you know, the other Robins that are more beloved. But Jason, he just got the short end of the stick. And when they took him out, you know, when he came back to Red Hood, I like the fact, like, you know what? Oh, Batman's doing it wrong. He's letting these guys just, you know, arrest him. You know, he won't take him out entirely. He just puts him in Arkham Asylum. They sit there for a few years. Somehow they get out. I have my own conspiracy theory about, you know, that. But somehow they get out. And he's like, what's going on? Why is he free? Like, no, I'm here to take him out. So he's willing to go above and beyond. Batman has like a line. Jason crosses that line in order to get true justice. That's why I love the Red Hood. He's ready to cross that line. Batman doesn't use guns to kill. So Jason's like, hey, I'm the opposite. I ain't got nothing to lose. The fans didn't like me then. So you know what? I'm coming back and I'm using everything I got. All right?
And Batman collector Nick, you like Jason Todd or?
No, I really do like Jason, and I've liked Red Hood. That run of Red Hood and the Outlaws that started with the New 52, I absolutely loved. He had a really good relationship with Red Arrow, both of them kind of being the ousted sidekicks for superheroes, and they built a really good friendship. And so, yeah, I really like Jason Todd and who he's become. I feel like DC's mishandled him a lot. I think the current way of what they've been doing of making it like they're kind of like the Dark Trinity with him and Artemis and Bizarro, making kind of like that darker version of Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman is interesting. But I really feel like the thing to do with Jason is to get him back more on his dark roots of whenever they first started with the Red Hood stuff, of make him like DC's Punisher. He'd make such a great Punisher character with just those anger issues. And I feel like that's kind of the fallen protege. If they would keep him in that, it would be the perfect niche for him.
So, baby girl, you like Jason Todd, right?
Yes, I really do. He is Batman's greatest failure. And it really shows. It really shows. And he's the sad boy, edgy sad boy of the Bat family. And that's why everyone loves him. Okay, well, that's not why. But yeah, I'm upset that I know obviously Young Justice isn't everything, but it is how I like got into it. And it's kind of sad we never really got to see him. You never really see him or just Jason Todd, period, in anything other than comic books. And I'm really hoping that's going to change.
Okay, but wait, you just said everyone loves Jason Todd, but I thought it was the opposite.
I thought that was Damian. I thought people don't like Damian.
Well, both, really.
Oh, I've only ever seen, just by mention, but just by passing, people like him. What I don't like is that whenever they write him, the way that he's written is annoying, because it's like, it's not. But I know you're like, oh, it's not what I want, and therefore it's not good. I don't want to sound like that kind of fan, but I don't like the way he's written a lot of times.
So Jason Todd, aka Red Hood, has become a really interesting and complex character. But is he a good guy or is he a bad guy?
That's what I love about him, because you never know. I think he's more, you know, I guess you could put him in that anti-hero role. But I don't even like putting that on, because I feel like that term is kind of like, I don't know, it feels like it's getting played out, because it's like, oh, the anti-hero. It's like, nah, I mean, he's kind of a jerk. You know, it's like, and I understand, I mean, he's been through some craziness, so, yeah, you're going to be not the nicest person to be around. I get that. But yeah, I would say if I had to put the term, I would say anti-hero. Because it's like, all right, he'll help out, you know, the fellow Bat family. But then it's like, well, might not. I may go at Batman. I may want to, you know. And that was a great, great movie, too, the Under the Red Hood classic Batman film. Batman got so many classic films, man, as far as just animated and live action. But that one, yeah, that one was really good. So, yeah, I would say just anti-hero, yeah.
Then after Jason Todd, a.k.a. Red Hood, there was...
The third Robin is Tim Drake. And, of course, we know he's known as the Robin that's most like Batman with his detective skills.
But the interesting thing is how little attention Tim Drake often gets so many times. And to me, when you look at who is the successor to Batman, it's Tim. And I feel like he's a very underappreciated person because, you know, when people think of Robin, they think of Dick Grayson automatically. Now, as people gravitate toward the more violent heroes, Red Hood has gotten to have such a following. And Tim has gotten to be largely forgotten. And I've always liked him the most because I feel like he's the only one that really gets the detective nature of Batman. So many of these Robins have some aspect of Bruce's way that they really hook on them, and he's the one who actually goes out and does the problem solving, does the detectives. In fact, one of my favorite suits in all of the Batman mythos was with Tim Drake of whenever Bruce supposedly had died in Grant Morrison's run, and Tim becomes Red Robin. Because Damian had become Robin, and his Red Robin suit was awesome. I mean, he had a cowl like Batman, but just without the ears. It was a very interesting storyline, and I love that one. In fact, that was one of my things with the Christopher Nolan movies. The guy's name was Robin John Blake, I think was his name, right? And I was like, and people were like, oh, it's Dick Grayson, it's Nightwing. I'm like, no, Blake. Drake, he's Tim Drake. So yeah, Tim Drake needs some more love, and I wish DC would give him some more love and get him back on the detective track. But I mean, I kind of have feelings on so many of those different ones in the Bat family, and you know, usually the characters I love the most are the ones who are very underappreciated and underdeveloped in many ways.
Now, there's a very interesting character assuming the mantle of Robin, and that is Damian Wayne. Yep, last name Wayne. He is Bruce Wayne's biological son.
And not at all a favorite character of mine. Damian is kind of a divisive character. He's very willing to kill and very much a little know-it-all. He's kind of a spoiled brat. He's ready to take on the world all by himself.
You know what? I like him because everyone hates him. So I was like, hey, you know what? I like him. This is kid, you know? It's like, all right, of course. First of all, let's be real. Can I be real? Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I can be honest? All right.
Demon.
So Bruce Wayne is a kid that he came up from privilege, right? He had wealthy parents and, you know, unfortunately, you know, he lost his parents. So it's like, okay, well, you can imagine Bruce Wayne having a kid. If he was already privileged, you know, the kid's going to be that much more. It's kind of like a rich kid, right? Like, you know, the dad might have did a lot, and then that kid benefit off, you know, the parents' wealth. So sometimes they're a little bit more annoying. You know, they didn't really have to go through that. But in Damian's case, though, he did with his mom. You know, Talia, and you know, the whole, you know, where he was at as far as learning from his grandfather, Talia al Ghul, and you know, so he actually got that raw edge. But he could be annoying sometimes, get it? But Bruce wasn't around like that. He didn't even know he had a kid. So I just like the fact that, you know, yeah, he's gonna rub him the wrong way, he's gonna rub people the wrong way, but it's his kid. So, you know, that's just, I like it.
Yeah, I really like Damian. He gets a lot of hate. And I know, I mean, I hate Grant Morrison as a writer. I hated just about everything about his run on Batman. But creating Damian, even though he apparently created him just to kill him off, he ended up creating such a great character in so many ways. And when I first discovered Damian, I thought he was a punk, which he is. But then it's like, as my kids got to be that same age, I really got to appreciate him a lot. Because, you know, Damian, what's beautiful about him is how he was trained to be an assassin. He was trained to usurp Batman and be the Batman that Ra's al Ghul wanted Batman to be, and to be that successor to Ra's. And for him to break out of that conditioning and want to be good, and wanting to impress his father, even though he shirked him so many times, it was just, to me, such a beautiful character. Even though, you know, being a very, very much a kid, that sense of he's trying so hard to be good, even though everything about him is trying to be evil. Because there's few things I love more than a good redemption story. And that's where you get so much in Damian, is trying so hard to be the good person. And the first arc in the New 52 is Batman and Robin, where it's Batman and Robin versus a villain called Nobody, had just so many great moments of Damian having his two natures under conflict. And it was just, to me, one of the best Batman and Robin arcs that I've read.
So Damian's your favorite Robin, right?
You know, I don't know, because my favorite, I love all the Robins. I think I love all the Robins equally. Yeah, I love all the Robins equally. But in terms of like my favorite Bat family member, not just the Robins, I can't decide because it changes. Like, I go through phases, it changes. Like, some days, like my favorite Bat family character will be like, I don't know, Jason. Other days it'll be like, Damian or something. I don't know. It just depends. But Damian, no, he's not my favorite. He's not my favorite Robin, because I like him all equally. I don't know. He's a decent enough Robin.
You know, a lot of people don't really like the character Damian. They say he's kind of a brat.
Yeah, I don't blame them. He is annoying, but I love him. He's a brat. I mean, he grew up rich, went wealthy. Wealthy before he even knew his dad, right? I mean, because you can, okay, look at his situation. He grew up wealthy, right? And a family of assassins. He grew up with the Uggles, and they're assassins, trained assassins, right? But he's a child. He's a child. So when we start off, he's around like what, 9 or 10, or is he like 10? And then like I think currently he's like 14 or 15 or something like that. Okay, so he's a kid, right? That's training, that's an assassin. Like, do you know he has to like to go through all this training as a kid, right? And he's wealthy, and then he doesn't know who his dad is until Talia takes him and shows him, hey, here's your dad. He dresses up as a bat and beats people up. And then dad's like, I don't know who you are. I'm gonna put you in a tight costume and you're gonna beat up these criminals with me. Like, do you really blame him? Do you really blame him? He's got daddy issues. It's okay. But I also don't blame people for thinking that he's annoying. But let's just look at why he is the way he is. Also, like, a good character development story. You have to enjoy those.
You buried me in a worthless position to keep me out of the way, and I solved the entire problem.
This isn't about you. It's about teamwork.
All I see is a lot of ineffectual grandstanding, which is why I prefer to work alone.
And my dad thinks I'm difficult.
Yeah, you know, I always say Damian just needs a spanking and a hug, and he'll be all right. And finally, there have been some female Robins.
There's actually been two female Robins. And, you know, people think of Carrie Kelly from Dark Knight Returns. But actually, there was another female Robin. I don't know if it was before that or not, but Stephanie Brown. She was female, blonde. She was Robin, and then she ended up becoming Batgirl after Cassandra Cain. So yeah, two female Robins.
Almost, if not just as iconic as the character Robin, is the character Batgirl.
I'm not interested in Batgirl. Like, I just don't. I don't care. So when it comes to Batgirl, much like Robin, of course, again, another legacy character, another mantle that can be passed on as the person ages out, basically, of the system. but of course, it was Betty Bette Kane that was the first Batgirl. Barbara Gordon, of course, is one of the most famous Batgirls and most people's favorites. But there's also been Cassandra Cain, Stephanie Brown, and of course, there have been other ones from alternate universes, including, if I'm correct, Batman and Catwoman's daughter from an alternate universe where they actually get together, they get married and have children. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it. Not as diverse as the Robins, of course. But of course, Robin gets more spotlight. So, but plenty of them in there, including, of course, Barbara Gordon is the most famous, but including some representation for people with disabilities. So, but Batgirl is a very compelling character. I mean, she's not my favorite, but it's definitely worth looking at for sure.
I love them. I love them all. I love Batgirl, Barbara Gordon in particular. I always felt like she was really awesome. Just from that, you know, just from Commissioner Gordon, you know, his daughter. So just that whole link right there. It's like, oh yeah. So I rooted for her just off the strength of, you know, Commissioner Gordon. So Barbara in her way took up her own way of justice, but, you know, linking with Bruce. And so I was always a Barbara Gordon fan. I just loved her story, her art, just that motivation. So yeah.
Well, my personal favorite Batgirl right now, as was just mentioned, is Cassandra Cain, I think. And I think it's the dad in me, you know? Like, I love girls. I love being a girl dad. And so I have a super soft spot in my heart for troubled girls who either have no dad or maybe they had a crappy one. It's like I want to save them all. Especially those that get taken advantage of. And so the backstory of Cassandra Cain definitely puts her in that category for me. From DCUniverse.com, no one in the Batman family had an easy childhood, but Cassandra Cain may have had the worst. Raised from infancy in horrifying conditions under the tyrannical and abusive thumb of her father, the world-class assassin David Cain, Cassandra was taught violence before she was taught anything else, even how to speak. Cassandra was completely mute and unable to read. Her ability to fight was her first language. She was taught to read movement and communicate through martial arts. Her father considered language and literacy a waste of memory and brain space for someone training to be the perfect weapon. Yet, despite David's best efforts to transform his daughter from human to weapon, he was not able to crush Cassandra's innate empathy and compassion. She wound up in Gotham and, well, you can imagine the rest. Getting hooked up with Batman. I think it's sometimes these sad origins that really make a character likable. And for me, this is my favorite Batgirl.
You gotta be a real fan to know who Cassandra Cain and Stephanie Brown are.
Oh, she's also the strongest Batman member. Best fighter.
Exactly.
I think Cassandra was the best. Technical wise, like abilities and so on. I think Cassandra was the best Batgirl. I think people just like Barbara because she's like the commissioner's daughter, and that it's a secret. And I think they like her a lot too because of her interactions with like Nightwing and the romance that happens there sometimes. But anyway, yeah. Anyway, yeah. You can't have Batman without Batgirl and Robin.
I don't really know who my favorite Batgirl is. Maybe Barbara Gordon because she's the one I know most about. But I want to see more of like Cassandra Cain being a bad Batgirl because she's not, and she should be. Let her be Batgirl. She is, but like the main Batgirl, which I mean, I guess is fine because she's the original is Barbara Gordon, but I think I like Barbara Gordon more as Oracle, because it's kind of different, because you're used to, especially like bad family members, because, well, I don't know, but let's just say heroes. You're used to heroes actually fighting, like, physically. They're out in the front lines, right? But she isn't. When she gets shot by Joker and becomes Oracle, I like that, because she, like I said, you're used to heroes fighting on the front lines, but she's not, and she's still very useful, and she still contributes, and she's still a hero, but she works on the computer, you know, like, she's a hacker. And it's different because she gets shot, but she doesn't, like, just completely give up. And that's why I feel like her story of, like, when she's Oracle is sort of, I guess you could say, inspiring.
All right, that was fun. But, you know, we still haven't gotten to the villains yet. In a moment, let's get into Batman's rogues and the iconic city Batman is driven to defend. I've already said that Batman is now one of my favorites, but definitely not my favorite. But I can't deny, and I'm pretty sure you can't either, Batman has some of the best, most iconic rogues galleries or villains ever conceived. Now, my favorite comic book character is, by a long shot, The Flash. But as much as I love The Flash, it pains me to say it, but all in all, Flash's rogues, they kind of suck. Okay, there, I said it.
Catwoman, Killer Croc, Penguin, Poison Ivy is a great one, yes.
Oh, yeah, Poison Ivy, you know. I feel like that's like, you know what, let's throw some environmental, you know, things in here, man. So I'm with Poison Ivy. I get the cause, man. You gotta respect the planet. That's all. Yeah, Poison Ivy was great. Clayface was good.
Just so many iconic villains. The Riddler.
I mean, I think the Riddler is so cool because it's like, all right, well, I'm like, I might not be able to, you know, go hand in hand with you, but I'm out. Thank you. I'm like, I'm gonna keep you guessing. You're not gonna know. I'm three steps ahead of everything that that you do as far as, you know, Batman is. So I love the Riddler. And this whole gallery, man, there's so many great ones. But yeah, I would say Catwoman, but Catwoman is still, you know, kind of in between. You know what I'm saying? In the comics, they almost got married. So
over the course of time, I would definitely argue that Catwoman is one of Batman's most famous female villains. And I think a big part of that is because she has been a romantic, you know, paramour to Batman on several occasions. But I think a lot of people, and I think that's why Harley Quinn has become so popular, a lot of people love an anti-hero. They love Deadpools of the world. They love characters that are a little good and bad, you know. And she's one of those perfect ones. She doesn't have an agenda. She doesn't work for anyone. She works for herself. So whatever course, you know, if it's in her best interest to work with Batman this week, she's going to do that. If it's in her best interest to work with the Joker next week, then she's going to do that. So I think it's definitely half and half. It's like people love seeing her with Batman. They love the idea of Batman falling for a slightly, you know, problematic character. And she's very attractive, obviously, which helps. But definitely that people love anti-heroes. And I can't tell you why. As a person who has studied creative writing and art, I don't really get it myself. Like, what is such a mass appeal for some reason? But yeah, definitely would have to say Catwoman. Although Harley Quinn is starting to get up there, but over time, definitely Catwoman for sure.
But Scarecrow, Hush, Scarecrow, just so that fear toxin, because we're all afraid of something. And the fact that he's able to come up with a gas that can make you see all the things you're afraid of, that's scary. That is really scary. But yeah, Hush was amazing.
Two-Face
is my guy. I like Two-Face because of, yeah, man, Two-Face was a good guy at one point. He was Harvey Dent, you know? He was the face of Gotham, you know, big guy. And then, you know, something happened. You know, he lost everything, lost his loved ones, family, and you know, the accident that just, you know, that other side. And the fact that, you know, kind of like Joker too, it's like, hey man, I'm gonna flip a coin. I love that dynamic, him just like putting that coin in there, catching it. It's like, all right, heads or tails, like, all right, it's 50-50. What's gonna happen to you? I always thought that was so cool. When you're like just walking around, all right, you either gonna live or you're gonna die. Call it. I just like that. I just thought he was really cool. Batman has so many great villains, but Two-Face was, yeah. Cause it's kind of like, yeah, we're all kind of like that. Could be, you know, we have that side where, you know, you might have a bad day and it's like, you know what? It's like a decision, right? Let's say someone cuts you off in traffic and you're driving and, you know, what do you want to do? You want to just be okay and like, you know what? That person's in a rush. I'm not going to react. So I'm going to flip the coin. I'm going to let that person pass. Or this might be the day where you like, I'm driving up to him. I need to find out who this person is so I can like tell them all. I feel like it just relates. Those makes the best villains, right? Where you can just relate to them. And I feel like Two-Face is another of Batman's classic villains that you can relate to. He's more like the mobster type, like I can flip a coin and decide, you know? So I always like that.
What's his name? The take two of these and call me.
Yeah, that was Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze, yes. I couldn't get him because I know his son's name, but I couldn't get him. Yeah, I like him for some reason. Because Young Justice was the introduction for everything, right? So it held a special place. And he was in there. And I don't know. He's entertaining. I like him.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably my favorite Batman villain of all time is Mr. Freeze. I just always come back to him. you know, because sometimes it's like, I love Joker and I love the Riddler, but I don't know, there's just something about Mr. Freeze that gets me like nobody else. His story to me is just so deeply tragic and it's relatable. Like,
any of us have said that we would do anything to help save the ones that we love and cherish and care about, you know, and that's literally what he's doing. So it's like this character totally explores the gray areas of morality in a way that, in my opinion, nobody else really does. You know, because it's like that parable or whatever, like, would you steal bread to save your family, you know, the future family? The stealing is a crime, but letting your family die is kind of an awful thing too. So that's why I've always loved, I just think that, first of all, it's just very romantic. Like, he's going to do anything. He's going to become a bad person. He's going to set the city on fire to save his wife. Like, come on, that's pretty cute. I mean, not cute, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just, and then it's just tragic. He's torn apart. He's watching her every day in and day out. And he had to basically scar and mutilate himself to make this happen. It's just horrible. So yeah, definitely Mr. Freeze for sure. And I don't think Mr. Freeze gets enough credit. He's just such a cool villain. And I wish he was explored more in media.
Ooh. His story was sad, man. Like, and you understood, because with his wife being on like life support and, you know, him doing whatever he can to try to keep her alive, keeping her body like frozen and ice cold. And of course that made him ice cold towards the world. Just that analogy right there. It's so symbolic.
So my personal favorite is Mr. Freeze. Well, like I said before, I love a good redemption story. And to me, amongst all of the ones of Batman's villains, him, which once again, thanks to the animated series, which largely reinvented the character, you get that sense of someone who does very, very evil, horrible things. But he's been so beaten, he's been so taken advantage of and his life ruined. And he really wants what I think all of us would consider a noble thing, to have his wife back, to have his wife in good health and to reunite with her. So as much as he does horrible things, he's trying to do something good. He's trying to get justice for him and his. And so you kind of get that interesting, just that feeling, that relatability and that understanding for him, and that hope that maybe he could become a good person.
This is interesting. You know, I'm glad you real comic book readers are sharing your insights, because, you know, I'd never really thought much about how deep these characters are, especially as I was just going off the limited portrayal in movies and cartoons.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's version of Mr. Freeze was just awful. It was just awful. and not only that, but like Bane's, the representation of Bane was awful too. I mean, for what it was, for a campy, fun, bright movie, it was appropriate. But if you want to be authentic and true to the character, that was horrible. Just absolutely horrible. Much like the casting, like, what were they thinking, first of all? But yeah, and just it was very Adam Westy. So I don't hold it against them very much, but it does bother me, because as that being his only true representation, like in the movie universe, like everyone thinks that Mr. Freeze and Bane are like total jokes. And like in the comics, like Bane is actually like, he's also a genius. He has like a huge, his IQ is through the roof. He's like one of the few supervillains that's as smart as Batman, but he doesn't get any credit because they portrayed him as this dumb luchador in the movie. And the same thing with Mr. Freeze. Like he's this truly genius character and this tragic character with this horrible backstory. But all anybody can think of is chill, you know, like, so yeah, I don't care for it. I mean, I enjoyed the movies for what they were, but like, no, I did not like that.
So Mr. Freeze is my favorite villain in like all of comic books. But to me, who is the arch nemesis? When I think of who is the true arch nemesis of Batman, to me, it's Ra's al Ghul, hands down. You think of Batman going down a path, you know, of his journey, of what made him who he is. He had that loss, and he now has that. He tries to bring justice, but he has those lines that he won't cross. He really still believes in society. He really still believes in people, but he just knows it's corrupt. But you have Ra's, who believes that society is corrupt and just has to be completely wiped out and restarted. And whereas Batman's not willing to take any lives to protect, Ra's feels like, you know, you have to make a bunch of eggs or break a bunch of eggs to make an omelet.
You're going to destroy millions of lives.
Only a cynical man would call what these people have lives, Wayne. Crime, despair. This is not how man was supposed to live. The League of Shadows has been a check against human corruption for thousands of years. We sacked Rome, loaded trade ships with plague rats, burned London to the ground. Every time a civilization reaches the pinnacle of its decadence, we return to restore the balance.
Gotham isn't beyond saving. Give me more time. There are good people here.
You are defending a city so corrupt we have infiltrated every level of its infrastructure.
So you can see that way that had Bruce had chosen a different route, Bruce never would have become the Joker. But he could have became Ra's as that rich millionaire, become billionaire with that intelligence, how he could have become just as evil with the same objective as Ra's is. So you see how he could have been going on a different journey if it wasn't for his control and his belief in people and in society.
And probably the most famous Batman villain of all is, of course,
it's always Joker. And then when you know, if it's probably one of those things of if someone were to say, you know, give me the first word that comes to your head and says Batman, Joker is going to be what comes out. So yeah, they seem like peanut butter and jelly in the opposite side of the coin. But I personally rarely ever like a Joker storyline. I usually just think he's not that great of a character. So yeah, plenty of great villains, but he's definitely nowhere near my top list.
Honestly, I feel like Joker, in my personal opinion, is the greatest villain ever, just because of the fact that he is that dynamic between, you know, Batman, where he always tells Batman, like, you're just one bad day from being me. Like, I'm you, but the other side of it. And yeah, I just feel like he's just iconic, man. Like, you think Batman, as far as villains goes, he's number one. I put him, if someone were to say he's the greatest villain of all time, I agree. There's great villains, but it's just like Joker, just, there's so many versions of Joker. You have different Batman, right? You had different actors who played Batman differently. Same thing could be said with Joker. You know, you had different Jokers that you can play each Joker differently, the way he's written in comics. You know, one Joker can be one way, another Joker can be another. You can have one that's super just jokey and, you know, trivial, and you have one that's like an anarchist who just wants to see the world burn, and you have others that are just out their mind. You know, there's no reason behind it. So I just don't see another villain that I know, I'm just thinking off top, that's in that same realm. You know, there's only one Darth Vader, right? There's only one Shredder. There's only one Lex Luthor. You know, they're one way. Joker is so many different ways. You can't pinpoint Joker. So, Joker for sure. I get it.
He is terrible, and he's great and terrible. Like, great, greatly terrible. And they're not shy about it. And they don't try to make him look like the good guy. He's just bad. He's a great villain. Would you say that he's the greatest villain? I got a question for you. Would you say that he's one of the greatest villains?
Do I?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Probably I would say yes, but I don't want to get that confused with that might get confused with, is he the is he my favorite? He's not my favorite villain.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you can recognize
he's pretty complex in a simple kind of way.
Yeah, I get it. I'm a Jason Todd stan, and I wouldn't say I'm a Barbara Gordon stan quite yet. I'm not, but I'm a Jason Todd stan, and I like Barbara Gordon. But you know what? I like Joker, because in order to get the best version of the characters that I like, Joker has to be terrible. Because I really like Arkham Knight Jason Todd, and in order for him to become like that, it's really messed up. But for some reason, I enjoy that aspect of the character, because you're not really used to. But like, I like that version of Jason Todd. In order for him to become that way, he has to get tortured by Joker for like 6 to 9 months. It's horrible. It's terrible, right? He's a terrible character, and Jason is heavily affected by that. And my favorite version of Barbara Gordon is Oracle, and that's a result of Joker. So I kind of have to like him, because, and I wouldn't have my favorite version of the characters if it wasn't Joker.
Huh. Very interesting. Man, I'm loving all this perspective. And of course, we can't forget.
Oh, Harley Quinn. We're so dumb.
As much as I don't like Joker personally, I really like Harley. You know, you get that hope of Harley. You know, of course, you know, all the guys that just love the Batgirl, it's hot. I mean, love the bad girl, not the Batgirl. They love both. But, you know, there's that attraction to that naughty bad girl that you get with Harley. But with Harley, you do get that sense of she could change, she could be reformed. And they've had it where she's gone good, but you're not going to see that with Joker. So to me, yeah, that was really that the biggest jewel to come out of the animated series was the invention of Harley.
Yeah, so Harley Quinn, Punchline. Punchline's a brand new character. Punchline is Joker's new sidekick instead of Harley Quinn, because Harley Quinn left him, she dumped him, moved on, she's doing her own thing now. So definitely Google Punchline. She's like really hardcore. It's pretty fun. So,
all right, who else we got?
I like Deathstroke. I like Deathstroke. I like, you know, Lady Shiva doesn't really count. Does she? I mean, she is kind of. I like Talia.
I thought Talia was a jerk, though.
Talia? She is, really. That's another character who deserves justice. I feel like with being written, she deserves justice. I mean, she is a villain, so you can't believe, like, oh, she's villainizing. You're villainizing her. But I feel like she should be one of those characters that is more neutral. Because it just doesn't make sense to me for her to be like a full-on villain, right? Like how I don't like how they did her in the animated movies. But yeah, she's a jerk. I mean, Damien, where do you think he like gets it from?
Yeah, man, Talia al Ghul. I mean, the mother of his kid, man. Like that's the scariest thing on the
Well, I guess I don't really have a favorite Batman villain. But I gotta say, you guys are making me want to take another look at him. But initially, when I think about it, I'd have to say that the first that pops into my head would be Deathstroke, the mercenary and assassin for hire, who makes for a formidable foe to Batman. But I guess technically he's more of a Teen Titans villain, I guess. And then I would say a character called Lady Shiva, who's virtually unbeatable one-on-one. And DCUniverse.com describes her as the most advanced martial artist in the world. And Lady Shiva also happens to have ties with my favorite Batgirl, so there's that. Again, Lady Shiva is not necessarily a Batman rogue, but I guess like with anyone, if you bring your shenanigans to Gotham, then you will get Batman's attention. But again, I don't know. Batman has so many iconic rogues.
Yeah, he's got an unlimited group of people to fight against. And as fast as he can stop one, there's another to challenge him. And they all challenge him in different ways. And I think that's an important thing, too. You know, each villain has their own agenda and their own appeal. And when they show up in the comics, I think that really adds a lot of flair to the comics, a lot of variety. Certain characters like Superman, I love Superman too, but it must be difficult as a writer to write Superman, someone who is so overpowered. It's got to be a challenge to write characters that are compelling, that can go toe-to-toe with Superman. And I think with Batman, it's just maybe it's been a natural evolution, but all his rogues gallery seems to work really well. And they're always introducing new characters just in the last decade or so, new characters like Hush that will be playing a big part in some of the upcoming DC media, some of the movies and games.
Yeah, same here. No denying it, man. His villain gallery is so... And that's what makes Batman, Batman. I totally understand why people view him as the number one guy. You know, I know Supes should be that, but yeah, I would say he definitely has the best gallery, probably the best stories. So I totally get it. I understand.
And finally, there is Batman's one true love. The city that he is the defender of, Gotham City.
Like, Gotham itself is such an iconic place. You have real cities, like, legit nicknamed themselves Gotham because of how popular Batman is. I remember reading, like, the inspiration. I guess it depends on who says it, but I just remember reading and seeing some interviews where it's saying, like, well, Gotham's kind of a combination between, you know, New York and Chicago, or Chicago and Detroit, or New York and Jersey, kind of. So it's like, man, all of those places just describes Gotham in a way. I'm like, oh, that's... And I love the name Gotham. It sounds like hardened, you know, like we're going to Gotham. Like, you have different cities in DC, like Metropolis. Oh, that sounds nice. Emerald City. It's like, oh, okay, that sounds nice. But you're like, hey, we're going to Gotham. You tense up when you hear Gotham a little bit. Gotham is the worst place ever to live. I don't understand why people still live in there, but, you know, it's another story for another day.
What you think about Gotham City?
It stinks. I bet you it's stinky. Like, literally. Like, a dumpster. It probably smells like a dump. I feel like Gotham is worse than New York. It is worse than New York. If it were real, oh my gosh, it'd be worse than, like, Detroit. It's just bad. It's stinky. But, I mean, we wouldn't really have a story without Gotham.
So, to finish up, Say someone's listening to this, and because you all were so compelling, maybe like me, they're just now interested in reading up a little bit more on your favorite character. So, what comics do you recommend? Okay, J-Rock, Jason Todd, Red Hood were your faves. He's your favorite, so what do you recommend?
I would say to follow the overall arc of the Red Hood. Got to start at the beginning. Got to start with Batman: Death of the Family, just so you can see the character, what he went through, and then the comic Batman Under the Hood, or Under the Red Hood. I mean, I would say between like issues 635 through 641, and then like the Batman Annual 25. So yes, Batman 635 through 641, and 645 through 650, and of course the classic animated film Batman Under the Red Hood. You know, sometimes when you like watch something and how they kind of summarize and it's like you don't really get the gist of it. This movie did it right. Like this movie, oh man, I still go back and rewatch it. So I would say those comics and then the movie. I can't go wrong with either. That's what I recommend.
Nightwing is your fave, CEO. What you got?
It's like you just have to read Batman, you know? If there's a good story you want to read for Dick Grayson's Robin or Nightwing, then I definitely would recommend the original Teen Titans run. Because, of course, Dick Grayson helped found the Teen Titans, so he was a major part of that. But he was also the leader of their team. So you get to watch him, over time, grow as a character, grow as a man, into Nightwing and grow into his own persona, his own character, and just watch him mature and learn strategy and leadership and all that good stuff, which is great. And it's just truly interesting. I love the Teen Titans is what even got me involved or interested in comics. The idea of young people trying to find their place in a world where they might, A, not feel welcome because they're superheroes and they have powers and they're weird or whatever, but find it together and help each other train so that they're not a menace to society. It's a really great run, so I really can't recommend it enough. Marv Wolfman and George Perez's Teen Titans stories are always good. Definitely check that out. If you had to ask, like, if I had to say what was my favorite Robin, just Robin in general story, I would have to pick A Death in the Family, which probably would surprise people because I hate Jason Todd and I hate the Red Hood. But like, the story was so groundbreaking. It changed everything forever when it comes to Robins and Batman. Because like we were saying before, he was just, you know, he's just sidekick, very cute, fun, flashy, you know, just kicking it. But the idea that a sidekick could even die was just like mind-boggling for comic book readers back then. But honestly, Jason Todd, particularly his death, the way it happened, how brutal it was, the fact that fans had a chance to vote and they actively voted to kill this character was just, I mean, the idea that fans could interact and alter the trajectory of a major flagship title for a major comic book industry like publisher was amazing. But it also changed Batman forever after that, because of course Batman was this like deeply tragic, sad character. His parents died when he was 8 or whatever, but you know, he kind of took it in stride and he worked through it, and he used it, if anything, to like bolster himself in his superhero role. But when he lost Jason Todd, that changed him forever. He was more careful, he was more planning ahead, he was always planning for everything that could have happened. And every time he did bring on a Robin after that, it was like only after much training, after much discipline, after much, like, he was just so concerned about it. And like, he always will carry that forever, this torch in him now of a second thought, which before he never had, you know, because for him, he was like, if I die in the streets doing what I feel like is right, whatever, you know, who cares? But now it's like, I have to do right by these young people, and I have to stick around. Like, I need to stick around because who else is going to take care of them, raise them, train them, if not me? So I think that is a huge story, and it really did. And for that time, it was like mind boggling for comic book fans that even happened. So I can't recommend it enough. It's good boy. it definitely sets the precedent for the Batman-Robin relationship for the rest of comic book history. So,
all right, Nick?
For Mr. Freeze fans or even detective fans, Snow is a really good story. It's obviously having to do with Mr. Freeze, which is why I like it, and also has to do with Batman trying to train people to help him in his detective work and why the whole system falls apart. So that was great.
Okay, so for me, a good Batgirl story arc for Cassandra Cain would be to start at Batgirl number one, beginning in the year 2000. And for any of these suggestions, just contact your local comic book shops like Soundwave Comics. If you call Soundwave Comics or hit their Facebook page, Greg or any of the super, super helpful staff can help you. In my personal experience, they have a ton of knowledge, so just ask. A huge thank you once again to the Super Friends for their insights. Baby girl, can I tell you that I love you?
Let's keep business and family separate. This is business.
Wow. Oh, okay.
But this is business. It's only for a couple of minutes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but thanks for taking time out of your super duper busy schedule.
Okay. I just hate that I sound because I sound like a 10-year-old. I'm not 10. And I sound 10. I thought my voice was deeper than that.
Out of control. A big thanks again to my friend Nick. Greg from Soundwave Comics. And Soundwave Comics is all over social media and .com. And, of course, my friends over at the Comic Section Podcast, Jason and Lil CEO. Their podcast drops weekly on Mondays, so definitely add them to your playlist wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you guys so much, and I'd love to get your insights for some future Pop Culture Icons episodes that I have planned, for sure. So, what do you think? Do you agree? Disagree? Did we totally overlook a character that you feel should have been covered? I'd love to know. My email is studio@sonicembassy.com. And you can also find the Sonic Embassy on Twitter, Facebook, and IG. Our website, sonicembassy.com. If you enjoyed this episode, I want you to tell your friends about me so they can listen too. But if you think this podcast needs an enema, share that on Twitter with the link to sonicembassy.com/podcast. Yeah, that would suck for me. I would really hate that. If you have an idea that you think would make a great episode, please, by all means, let me know. Thank you guys so much for listening. I love you, and I hope you'll listen more soon. And this was fun. I can't wait to explore another iconic noun in popular culture really soon.
艺术使馆
Embassy
Sonic Embassy.